This morning, the Israel Defense Forces liberated Jerusalem. We have united Jerusalem, the divided capital of Israel. We have returned to the holiest of our holy places, never to part from it again. To our Arab neighbors, we extend, also at this hour, and with added emphasis at this hour, our hand in peace. And to our Christian and Muslim fellow citizens, we solemnly promise full religious freedom and rights. We did not come to Jerusalem for the sake of other people's holy places and not to interfere with the adherence of other faiths, but in order to safeguard its entirety and to live there together with others in unity. Such were the words of the defense minister of Israel at that time, Moshe Dayan. You've probably seen pictures of him with the eye patch at the reconquest of Jerusalem. Israel has days, this is Jerusalem Day, an important day for them, obviously, but also back in April was Yom HaShoah, a day we don't have, the Holocaust Remembrance Day, when they remember all the Jewish people throughout history, but especially during World War II, the Holocaust Remembrance. Yom HaTzikaron, May 4th, is their Memorial Day. May 5th is Yom HaAtzmaut, which is their Independence Day. So a nation given rebirth in 1948 that celebrates these days. On 15th of May in 1948, the day after Israel declared its independence, it was attacked by armies of many nations, Arab nations all around. And Jordan seized East Jerusalem and the Old City, the Temple Mount. And the Israeli forces made an extreme effort to try to dislodge them, but were unable to. And by the end of the 1948 Arab-Israeli War, the war for independence, basically for Israel to be allowed to exist as a nation, Jerusalem was left divided between Israel and Jordan. The Old City and East Jerusalem continued to be occupied by Jordan, and the Jewish residents were forced out. Under the Jordanian rule, half of the Old City's 58 synagogues were demolished, and the Jewish cemetery on the Mount of Olives was plundered for its tombstones, then which were later used for paving stones and building materials. But this changed in 1967 as a result of what we call the Six-Day War. And before the start of the war, Israel sent a message to King Hussein of Jordan saying that Israel would not attack Jerusalem or the West Bank as long as the Jordanian front there on the east remained quiet. But urged by the politics of the day and Nasser in Egypt, pressure and based on deceptive intelligence reports, Jordan began shelling the civilian locations in Israel, to which Israel responded on June 6th by opening the Eastern Front. The following day, June 7th, 1967, Israel captured the Old City of Jerusalem, and the Jewish folks had access to the western wall of the Temple Mount for the first time in thousands of years. As David Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister of Israel, declared, "The value of Jerusalem cannot be measured, weighed, or put into words. If a land has a soul, Jerusalem is the soul of the land of Israel." God agrees. Ezekiel chapter 5, many verses throughout scripture, but just a few. Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 5. "Thus says the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set her in the midst of the nations and the countries all around her." Zechariah chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, looking to the future. "Therefore says the Lord, Yahweh, I am returning to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it, says the Lord of hosts, and a surveyor's line shall be stretched out over Jerusalem. Again proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, my cities shall again spread out through prosperity. The Lord again will comfort Zion and will again choose Jerusalem." It's important to remember our national history and the wars it took to win freedom. like on this day in Israel, history, looking back at what God has done for our nations. We can make this for the United States as well, what it took to win freedom in Jerusalem in particular for the Israelis today. But the Bible also talks about this type of thing. In fact, this is a famous carving of the Babylonian captivity. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 137. Psalm 137, the biblical remembrance of Jerusalem in particular, but God's faithfulness and what it costs for freedom. Psalm 137, this is right after the Songs of Ascent. I read Psalm 122, the 15 Psalms that were read on the Feast of Tabernacles, in particular as the Jews went up. The Jewish people were to go up to Jerusalem for the pilgrimage feast, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. And then right before Psalm 137, there are a couple other Psalms of the supremacy and the deliverance of God, rehearsing the history. How many times, especially in the Old Testament, are there, remember what the Lord did when he brought you out with a mighty hand out of the bondage of Egypt. And this then is a communal lament. Is there, the community is remembering what had happened to them in this Babylonian captivity. And it's also called a Song of Zion, another name for Jerusalem, remembering their homeland. And so the first four verses, the lament. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. For there those who carried us away captive required or demanded of us a song. And those who plundered us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Babylon, a picture of evil, the reality of world powers and evil through all of human history. And the picture then here of being carried away, almost a version of propaganda from the Babylonians as they carried away captives. And the idea of remember, that's a word we in our country sometimes don't use very much, but biblically it's a deliberate focusing of our attention and thought. Really? Oh yeah, I forgot. No, remember. And they're remembering Israel from where they had been, and Jerusalem in particular, Zion, where they had been carried captive. So remembering the past exile, we might say. And they were by the waters between the Tigris and Euphrates, the Fertile Crescents back then. So they had prosperity and abundance. If you've ever been to Israel, there's a water shortage there, more so than Colorado. And so they had prosperity and abundance. But that's not a substitute for freedom, the freedom of the people longing for Zion. And then verses 5 and 6, they're lamenting and now they're confessing and in confidence in God. Verse 5, if I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her skill. If I do not remember you, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. So forgetting, not remembering, calling down a curse, your mouth, our actions and our words, you might say, and playing their instruments, calling down a curse to set up, to exalt, set above, go up, that same word, to go up to Jerusalem, exalting Jerusalem, remembering the city and the importance biblically of what it stood for. And so we need to remember the present joy of having access to Jerusalem in their case. The freedom of that sacred city, their patriae, their homeland, which is also the word, the Latin word where we get father, remembering God's faithfulness and the sacredness of that city where the temple was, where the Shekinah glory of God was. In fact, when I read 1 Kings 8, at the dedication of the temple, the Shekinah glory, the very presence of God, came and filled the Holy of Holies of Solomon's temple. But Jerusalem pictured, exemplified the covenant blessings of God. That's why it meant more than just, oh yeah, that's a nice city, our capital city. That's the city that we will not forget and we will not remember. How could we? with that. And then the last couple verses, a prayer. And this is a little tough sometimes to understand from maybe our perspective, but verses 7 to 9, remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom, the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, tear it down, make it bare, to its very foundation, O daughter of Babylon, who are to be destroyed. Happy shall be he who repays you as you have served us. Happy shall be he who takes and dashes your little ones against the rock. Pretty graphic. But the idea of standing against evil, praying against evil, God's righteousness and his judgment is what we are associating. Not getting revenge ourselves, but God punishing wickedness and evil. And Edom is mentioned. And those of you that have been around for a while, back in 2016, we did a series on Obadiah, a condemnation of Edom that had a bad history with Israel. And during the captivity, the Edomites were basically cheering on the enemies, the Babylonians, during this time, because they did not like Israel. But trusting ultimately in God's justice. Did a series last year on what is biblical justice. And the law, lex talionis, the law, an eye for an eye, that God, in his righteousness, will and can accomplish that. And we should want that. Now, we pervert that at the human level, but the idea of God making things right. And so we also then need to remember the future judgment and justice, God's sure judgment against evil. It is important to remember God's ultimate judgment and deliverance. And like we sang those songs, some of my favorites, God is strong to save, eternal Father, strong to save. In the battle hymn of the Republic, mine eyes have seen the glory, trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. That's God's justice, anger against righteous anger against sin. With his terrible swift sword, his truth is marching on. So Jerusalem remembrance, Jerusalem Day, the biblical remembrance, remembering what it cost for freedom. What about our remembrance? A poem that I was just made aware of, actually, watching a course on Roman history, called Shine Republic by a guy named Robinson Jeffers. He's a unique guy, but Shine Republic, listen to these words. The quality of these trees, green height, of the sky shining, of water a clear flow, of the rock hardness and reticence. Each is noble in its quality. The love of freedom has been the quality of Western man. There is a stubborn torch that flames from Marathon to Concord, its dangerous beauty binding three ages into one time. The waves of barbarism and civilization have eclipsed, but have never quenched it. For the Greeks, the love of beauty. For Rome, of ruling. For the present age, the passionate love of discovery. But in one noble passion, we are one. And Washington, Luther, Tacitus, Aeschylus, one kind of man. And you, America, that passion made you. You were not born to prosperity, you were born to love freedom. You did not say en masse, you said independence. But we cannot have all the luxuries and freedom also. Freedom is poor and laborious. That torch is not safe, but hungry, and often requires blood for its fuel. You will tame it against it burn too clearly. You will hood it like a kept hawk. You will perch it on the wrist of Caesar. But keep the tradition. Conserve the forms, the observances. Keep the spot sore. Be great. Carve deep your heel marks. The states of the next age will no doubt remember you and edge their love of freedom with contempt of luxury. what is most important, and what does this country stand for? Memorial. You know, you look that up, the root word, preserve, commemorate, bring to memory, especially honoring someone who has died. Well, as Americans, we should appreciate that. How much more should we as Christians understand that? That we should have honor for a nation like Jerusalem Day, like what most nations of the world to some degree do. We of all people ought to honor our nation, the freedom of the United States, our homeland, which is more than just the prosperity and the luxury, which is sometimes all it seems like people want. That freedom has responsibility. We have to be a people of virtue, not just give us our rats, as the Southerners fighting for their rats. I want my rats. We have a responsibility for this great nation. But then also commemorating deliverance. And the biblical is full of pictures. In fact, pretty much every year I'll bring this up, but the stones of remembrance, like tombstones, those stones of remembrance from Joshua chapter 4, verses 20 to 24, as God is taking his people into the promised land across the Jordan River. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, "When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, 'What are these stones?' then you shall let your children know, saying, 'Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever.'" Teaching our children, the Israeli children, Jewish children back then, of God's deliverance and his faithfulness. For the Jewish people in a specific way, yes. But God has blessed this nation. Do we teach that to our children? United States history, when it really began, and what this nation has stood for, despite some of our problems. But that is the importance of recognizing the deliverance and what it has cost for us to be the freest people in this world. And then remembering the sacrifice. The U.S. military, and like I said, any of us who have served or just neighbors, family members, know people that have given their lives in service of their country as free men and women, not conscripts, not sent out, but just the freedom, willing to bare their breasts to the bullets of the enemy to fight for something, hopefully a righteous cause. The military then, Memorial Day, our political freedom. But like I mentioned that with the Lee Greenwood song, but how much more for us as Christian, the sacrifice of the man, our Lord Christ Jesus, the man who died to give us our spiritual freedom from the bondage of sin. Wouldn't be a Memorial Day service without me quoting Churchill. Sorry. If you don't like Churchill, you're free to leave. Those who seek to plan the future should not forget the inheritance they have received from the past. For it is only by studying the past, as well as drawing for the future, that the story of man's struggle can be understood. It is important to remember the cost of freedom. For the United States, politically, the responsibility that comes with that to be worthy of being protected by the military, but more importantly, the cost of freedom, that God the Son died for your sin and my sin to give us the freedom from that ultimate enemy, sin and death.